This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all roads, freak show, something to see.
Got them lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move, dance.
My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome back to The Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, Cap and S, 5-9TheFan.com. I'm former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe with John Hadley, Jim Huer, and Matt Rocchio. Joining us now, the voice of your St. Louis Blues, Chris Kerber. You heard him calling game one. It was a spectacular come-from-behind victory. Kerbs, how are you, sir?
TJ, I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing very well. The Blues, a little bit of a slow start, and it seemed like the Winnipeg Jets had the physical advantage, certainly out-hitting the Blues. I think it was 36-21, but in the third period there, the Blues found a way to find the back of the net twice.
Yeah, you know what? You're not at all surprised. You come into this building, you come into this atmosphere, and you know that they're going to come out and do what they did. And you're going to have to weather the storm sometimes, and that's exactly what the Blues did. But they controlled the opportunities, I think, against for the most part, and they were able to absorb the hit and figure out how to get to the game that they wanted to play, you know, and by keeping it a 1-0 game going into the third period, you know, the St. Louis Blues felt some confidence, and, you know, they did something in game one, guys, that, you know, really might be a bit of a surprise here, but that was only the third time this season the St. Louis Blues entered the third period trailing and came away with a victory. So you got to love the way Jordan Binnington can play. You got to love the way that this team was resilient. And my goodness, was that a heck of a good game to just start off this series.
Unbelievable, Kerbs. In fact, I was telling TJ earlier in the show that having followed this team with great passion for four decades, all too often in the past, that was the type of game that the Blues come out in the third period, they put on a bit of a rush. 5 minutes in, it's still 1-0. It winds up 4-0 on an empty net goal. Yada, yada, yada. Absolutely incredible watching the boys do what they did last night. A couple rapid questions here for you before Jim Huer comes back from smoking his Cool Filter King. number one, I've never heard anybody say, hey, you need to spend a few days in Winnipeg. But having seen these, having seen some playoff games and last night again, that's just got to be a really cool building to be in this time of year.
You know, the atmosphere was good. You know, a sellout crowd is like 15,300, so it's smaller. You know, I you know what? I don't know what family arena seats out there in St. Charles, but I bet it's not too far off, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Just to kind of give you an idea of size, or at least something close. You know, so, but I'll tell you something, John. I mean, the atmosphere was good. There was a cool crowd outside the building based on the TV shots that we saw. I think when St. Louis Blues fans get to the arena early on Sunday and they get in their seats a little bit early for the pregame light show they're going to see, they're going to be blown away by the open. And I'm telling you, the Blues fans are going to be blown away by the open. And what I saw last night in this building wasn't even close. I mean, it honestly was not even close to what fans are going to see on Sunday. And I mean that very sincerely. So, cool atmosphere. It was good. And the St. Louis Blues also did a really good job of quieting that crowd.
Yes, they did. I listened to you and Joey Vitale talking about Bozic and his line, just how many opportunities were created by that group. The one thing that I hope, and I know that legit hockey fans know, but those who follow the game come this time of year, they've learned to appreciate that Pat Maroon has proven to be a terrific buy for this team, because in the end, he is what we thought he was, and he's even making some offensive plays that I wasn't sure that he could. Hey, Bozic in particular, the last quarter of the season, has found himself in positions to score big goals and has converted several of them. That noted, last night, that play was truly created by incredible strength and tenacity by Pat Maroon. at one point in time virtually fighting off three different Winnipeg defenders to maintain control of the puck and get it back out in front of the net. Pat Maroon, I think, has gone from being overhyped to an unsung hero on this team down the stretch.
You know what? I think in the end, you're going to say that the Blues got maybe a bit of a steal in Pat Maroon with what they wound up paying in salary for this year and what you ended up getting, especially on a line where he and Craig Berube touched on this. Both he and Bozak, because I think Craig said this in yesterday's morning press conference, those guys have just kind of taken Robert Thomas under the wing like their own kid and made him feel comfortable and got him going on that line. And there's been some great chemistry there. And then think about it, we could almost call that the new guy line because none of those three guys were on the team last season. And then they have found some good chemistry. Now, that play started with a terrific play by Alex Pietrangelo. And then it was just beast mode for Pat Maroon from the red line in. Got it to the corner. And if you go back and you watch the video of that, when he shoulder checks, and I don't mean throw a shoulder into a guy, I mean looks over his shoulder to see where Bozak is and then gets the puck into the middle to him. I mean, what an absolute spectacular play. And in the last 2.5 months, he's been as good as anybody in the league in protecting the puck down low. And that's the style of play that the St. Louis Blues have to have, John. They've got to have the play where they're winning the one-on-one battles. They're protecting the puck. The Winnipeg Jets, I thought last night, did a great job of swarming around that puck. I mean, if there was one, there was two. I thought through the first two periods, the Jets probably had better puck support than the St. Louis Blues did. But the Blues started to win those battles. And Pat told us after the game, in our post-game interview with him, that you know the Winnipeg Jets like to really get that one-on-one coverage down low. And he goes, and if we can just get inside of them or get behind them, we're going to beat them to the front of the net. And I think that's an interesting storyline to watch for game two.
No doubt. Had one thing before I get to my last question here. How awesome
well, hey,
was
John, let me add one more thing here, too, more. And Pat Maroon was dealing with something else, and we touched on it in the post-game show, interview with him as well. Prior to getting on the plane to Winnipeg, unfortunately, he found out that his grandfather had passed. So he found out that issue, you know, that had happened that morning and had to deal with that in the morning and then still got on the plane, didn't delay, and then come up a day later, got on the plane with his teammates. And then these teammates, and TJ probably can attest to this with his time in a locker room and in Mizzou, but you're around guys so much that they really have to become like family and supportive. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously extremely supportive, but he was dealing with a pretty heavy heart going into game number one. So it was a pretty special game to watch him see be impactful like that.
No question about that. It was also fun seeing Alexander Steen perform and get, I'll tell you what, Curbs, if you have guys like Alexander Steen jumping into frays like he did at the end of that game, that tells you the competitive level across the board with this hockey team that combined with the skill. I am trying to remain composed. I've been down this road before, but there are so many signs that this is a special edition.
So I was talking to a couple of the Jets broadcasters yesterday, or rather prior to game one, and we were kind of going through some different aspects of it. And one of the, I threw out of my, I said, I got my dumb stat of the night for you guys. And they go, okay, what's that? And I said, well, you've got 9 of the 12 defensemen in tonight's hockey game are 6'3" or taller. And then we just started talking about different aspects of the game. And one of the broadcasters looked at me and goes, you know, I'm doing these interviews, these breakdowns around town here in Winnipeg. And everybody keeps talking about the advantage has to go to Winnipeg when it comes to the depth. And he goes, you guys have Alexander Steen on your fourth line. I said, yeah, that's a 600-point guy in his career on your fourth line. And I said, you've had 13 guys that had 10 or more goals with a 14th guy in Robert Thomas that had 9. The Blues are every bit as deep as the Winnipeg Jets are. He goes, yeah, exactly. And Craig Berube went to Alex Steen and told him what his plan was and why he wanted him to play on that line. And Alexander Steen was an absolute pro. Said, you got it, whatever we got to do to win. And my goodness, has he really made an identity on that line. Now, and Alex, of course, was born here in Winnipeg when his dad was playing for the Jets. So when these two teams played in 1982 in a playoff series, it was 2 years. Thomas Steen was playing in that series. It was 2 years before Alex was born. So he was born here in Winnipeg, which is why he and Chaser always gives him brief, calls him Canadian, not Swedish. But trust me, Alexander Steen considers himself and calls himself Swedish. And prior to, you know, game number one, in the trips up here to Winnipeg, since the Jets, moved up from Atlanta, he had 11 points in 13 games with a +4 rating. He loves playing up here. And I thought that the end of that game was great. I didn't see exactly what caused some of that melee right after the whistle. I think he took a shot. And Alex Pietrangelo snapped pretty good. And I don't know if you guys saw the video of Craig Berube walking across.
That was awesome.
But here's what I saw. He barked, and it looked, and we'll find out today when we get to the rink here in just a few minutes, or I'm sorry, when we talk about this before the pregame show. But he barked and looked like a Patrick Laine. And I don't know if the video was still on it for you guys, but I'm watching it live. And the one guy that stepped up and started to go after Patrick Laine after seeing that was Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, there was
Sundquist that had to get in the way.
Yeah, that's where there was not one enforcer type guy on the ice, and yet they all jumped into the fray. But I mean, Steen in particular, because I know that there's been various issues with Steen leadership and this, that, and the other thing going back. But the fact is, leaders lead by example, and Steen jumping full fray into that thing at this stage, this early in the playoffs, I think could prove to be one of those moments that a leader decided to lead by example. But anyhow, there's so many in almost every sport, whether it's a head coach, whether it's a manager, regardless of what the fact is, we tend to give one guy a lot of credit or one guy all the blame. Obviously, this team has unquestionably taken upon the attitude of their head coach. None of them could fight like their head coach, but they all have that aggressive, tough attitude now. That noted, as well as this team has played in so many aspects, Curbs, there's got to be a couple guys behind the scenes that are getting no credit that have done a terrific job in securing the fundamentals and various aspects of this game that we have seen turn around so quickly over the course of the last 3 months. I don't want to put you on the spot, but are there any guys on that coaching staff in particular you want to give a shout-out to?
Well, I mean, you got to talk about the coaching staff as a whole. In talking to Ryan O'Reilly prior to game number one, just talking about faceoffs and one of the reasons that he's been so good, and O'Reilly won more faceoffs this year than anybody in the league. And he talked about Steve Ott and Steve Ott's approach and Steve Ott's knowledge of guys in this league right now still and how to do it and how big that was. Mike Van Ryan has done a terrific job managing the defense and how they've done. In one game, it's Bouwmeester leading the team in ice time. The next game, it's Pietrangelo. Next game, it's Parayko. And sometimes it's been Edmondson. You go that route. David Alexander has done a great job prepping the goaltenders. And I know that Jordan Binnington, it's his team right now, and he's going to run with this thing. You know, but Jake Allen had to play some good hockey down the stretch to get to the Blues, get the Blues into where they got. So I think he's done a good job. And then you got to go back to when the St. Louis Blues challenged that offsides in that critical game on home ice a couple of weeks ago. And Sean Farrell, the video coach, was the one that called in and said, guys, challenge this, and they did it immediately. But top to bottom, this coaching staff, I think, has done a terrific job with this hockey team, and they have found a way to relate to it. And you're seeing the results of that. It is all the pieces that have to come together, John. And you know what? It came together for a good game one win. And now we'll see how both teams make adjustments heading into game two.
Looking forward to game two, Curbs, no doubt. But game one of the things I wanted to see take place, and it took place in the first minute. You can say whether it was purposefully or not. I knew Winnipeg was going to try and get into Binnington's kitchen a little bit. And in the first minute of the game, in game one, you saw Binnington get run. You could say it was accidental, Shifley trying to go around him, whatever. But you knew they were going to try. And I thought it was big that Binnington kept his composure, didn't get riled in his first Stanley Cup game, and was the star of the game.
He was outstanding. And that save he made on Shifley right at the end was just crazy sick and good. And my favorite part might have been, once again, I mean, he nailed another post game press conference when somebody asked him about getting hit, and he just said, it's playoff hockey. I can take a hit. I mean,
yeah, that's awesome.
It just continues to come this way for this kid, and good for him. He had the battle to get here. He had to work hard. He had to overcome to get here, and he did. And he's been good. There's another aspect of that game, guys. To focus on, and Jimmy, I know you were traveling with us at the time, but you know it wasn't unusual back in the early 2000s, late 90s, obviously, to. You know, when you had McInnes and Pronger, and it was basically each guy was logging 30 minutes a game, and Jimmy Roberts just had to tap guys on the shoulder to kind of fill in the other, you know, the other 60 yes. minutes of the hockey game. and you'd be out there, and there'd be a penalty killer. There'd be something big. You'd look over, and Pronger's not moving. He's staying on the ice, right? Or Al's not moving. He's staying on the ice. What Ryan O'Reilly did in the final 2.5 minutes of that hockey game in game number one was just flat out outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was it, and he got helped, of course, by the Winnipeg Jets having to take the timeout. But Ryan O'Reilly was just unbelievable, and ended up taking 13 defensive zone faceoffs head to head with Ryan Little, and won 67% of them. And how critical were all those faceoffs right down to the end when the Blues had to keep icing the puck? I mean, Ryan O'Reilly was just amazing in that part of the game.
That's the thing about Ryan O'Reilly, too, and we've talked about it amongst us here, but he doesn't have to show up on the score sheet to be a true factor and dictate what's going on in a hockey game. And he's just stepped up and played that role and has just been as good as we've seen in a long time at the center position for this franchise.
Well, absolutely, 100%. And they're going to check that line, and they're going to check that line hard. Now, that line's going to get some opportunities. That line's going to get its moment. But when they're going to focus hard on that Ryan O'Reilly line, that's when the Bozak line and that's when the other lines can really step up and make a difference. So I thought that top line did a terrific job. I thought Vladimir Tarasenko was really good. And I liked, I mean, shoot, the way Braden Shen went after Shifley after he ran into Bennington, as you mentioned, Jim, in that first shift of the game. This team came together, and then you go back to what we were talking about with the barking and some of the pushing and shoving at the end of that hockey game. Fellas, at that point in time, the Winnipeg Jets, who had not seen this version of the St. Louis Blues this year, realized, oh man, you know what? This is going to be a series, and I can't wait for game two.
Curbs, I thought it last night was a great snapshot of what Doug Armstrong figured out this past offseason. First goal, David Perron, obviously he had been a part of the organization in the past, but getting him back in the fold, Pat Maroon taking on the three guys to center it to another guy that wasn't on the roster last season, Tyler Bozak. Both goals last night from guys that were not on the roster. And probably the best line last night was the Robert Thomas line with Bozak and Maroon, three guys that were not on the roster last year, as you mentioned. I thought it was a really good snapshot of what Doug Armstrong was able to put together this season, and we've kind of gone back and forth of giving him credit and then saying, well, they're not playing well. Is he on the hot seat? I know you were not in that camp, but you can look at last night and say, man, that was kind of a Doug Armstrong masterpiece.
I think everybody played the role that they were expected to play. You know, Pat Maroon was just barking at that Winnipeg bench, I guess, during the second period. I was talking to Darren Pang, Brusk, who was between the benches. And so that was huge. And, I mean, Colton Parayko was just a beast in that game, too. I mean, I keep using that phrase, but my goodness, was he good. And, guys, as good as the Blues were in the third period to get that game, they're going to have to find another level for game two if they're going to have a chance to win it. And then, believe it or not, it's going to have to increase as this series goes on. So that was the tip of the iceberg, and now you're going to see which team makes the adjustments, who is able to get what going, and then how much more consistently can you get to your game first. And what's exciting, which as good as that game and as entertaining as that game was in game one, it has to get better for both teams as this series goes on, and that's unbelievable to think about.
It is pretty crazy. And really, you saw the physicality increase, I think, on both teams. You saw Tarasenko especially finishing some checks you wouldn't see him do during the regular season, putting his shoulder in there. But Winnipeg really, especially the first two periods, took it to another level. Some of those perhaps not even legal. Petrangelo got drilled in the back, knocked off his feet. That happened a few times, and Winnipeg nearly doubled the Blues' hits. Do you think that's something that the Blues have to be paying attention to getting their level of physicality, or they just go about it the way they did last night, beat them with scoring chances as opposed to trying to knock them off their feet?
It's going to be an extremely physical series. The Blues expected it, and those hits are going to wear out. That's why what's important is if you get an opportunity to grab game two, you're able to do it. Because if a series goes one game more, if it goes in overtime more, if it goes two extra periods more, that kind of thing, that's when those hits can really start to nick you and injuries can happen and stuff. So, I thought the Blues responded well to the physical. I'm telling you, I think the Winnipeg Jets are probably thinking, oof, okay. You know what? They can handle the physical aspect of the game too. And, like I said, I think it was a bit of an eye-opening game.
Do you think there is one thing you're looking at for Game 2 here that you're saying? You mentioned, obviously, the level of play. You've just hit the tip of the iceberg. But is there one element of the game in particular that you're looking at Game 2 and saying, if they can do this, the Blues can come out having stolen two from Winnipeg?
Well, I think the Blues are going to have to stay equally as disciplined. I thought the refs called a really good game last night. And they let go what was fair on both sides. You mentioned the hit on Pietrangelo, which was a violent hit, and Parayko probably got away with a boarding call on Scheifele as well. Staying disciplined and out of the box is going to be really important for them. I think along those lines, they're going to have to be even tighter on Patrick Laine. I thought Patrick Laine started to feel a little bit in that game, obviously, with that first goal that he had. That's going to be key. And then they're going to have to knock one in on the power play, you know, and because if you can get a power play goal or two early in this series, you can put a dent in some of the aggression of the Winnipeg Jets, because their penalty killing hasn't been great this year. And if you can capitalize on a couple of those, you can put it in the back of their heads, we can't take that penalty, and that can change some of their style of play a little bit. So I'll be curious to see if that plays a role in game number two.
Great stuff, Curbs. We will let you get to it. I know this time of year there is a million things, a lot of meetings for you to be sitting in, and a lot of research and good stuff. Looking forward to hearing you in game two.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Talk to you in a little bit.
All right. That is Chris Curver, the voice of your St. Louis Blues. Hey, boys. Guess what? Royal Banks of Missouri is one of our spectacular sponsors on this here show. They got a suite of checking accounts that allows you to choose your free reward simply for banking with them. Rewards like a better interest rate on your money. You can get cash back. Credits that can be used with Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. They've got it. No monthly service charges. All you got to do is probably a few things that you do already. Make 15 monthly debit card purchases. Have at least 2 automatic monthly payments from your account and accept your monthly statement electronically. Why would you not? Again, full-service bank, 11 neighborhood locations, full mobile banking, a full commercial lending department, and you can get yourself a home equity line of credit if you would like as well, John.
Yep, and I can tell you this much. You're not going to meet a nicer bunch of people. Great coffee at those Royal Banks locations.
Mm-hmm. They're not known for their coffee, but they probably should be.
Oh, I go in there.
They're known for their banking, John.
Well, but they have good coffee, too.
RoyalBanksOfMo.com, 314-212-1500. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Royal Banks. Jimmy Huer.
Yes.
What are you expecting game two?
I expect Winnipeg to try and come out with another fight. I think somebody else is going to run Binnington again. It might be, you know, we talked the other day about Byfuglien. Byfuglien wasn't as big a physical factor as I think he will be in game two. I think he'll be even more of a factor moving forward. For the Blues, I think some of the kids, I think Zach Sanford's got to be better. He's going to find out. He found out a little bit that, hey, playoff hockey is if you're not strong in the puck, you're going to get the crap beat out of you a little bit. You're going to get pushed up against the wall, and you got to come back fighting. And he got better as the game went on. But I think the Blues are going to have to find that in order to win this game, they got to be stronger in their own zone and getting the puck out of the zone, which is what struggled with them in the first two periods and why Winnipeg was taking the game to them. But I don't know about a prediction right now. I don't have a good feel one way or the other, but I think it may be the toughest game of the series because Winnipeg has their absolute back against the wall. They can't come to St. Louis down two in the Blues. If they just keep rolling, they figure if we can weather the storm, get another good goaltending from our guy, we got a chance to steal another, and then we're golden sitting here 2-0.
Right. No, in fact, I had mentioned Sanford in segment one. And just for his size, he gets knocked off the puck so easily. But I agree with your assessment of Bufflin. And I was sitting there thinking about T.J. Moe last night as I was watching the game.
Why wouldn't you be?
Well, one, because,
most people do.
One, because he just has a gorgeous six-pack and pecs. But the other thing is the fact
Look at him flex.
the other thing is T.J. was discussing whether or not Bufflin would be prepared to play. I didn't completely buy into the theory that Bufflin wouldn't be prepared to play. He's a veteran. He's been through the wars. He's had and he's played and been a key component on Stanley Cup teams. But the more I got to thinking about it, I think that T.J. might have hit on a point that he didn't even realize, which is rare because he oftentimes thinks he has points, which he has no points. It's a rounded edge with his points.
Backwards day.
But
he's in the room.
But I'm starting to wonder, is Bufflin healthy?
Yeah.
And if we don't see the Dustin Bufflin that you're talking about
they
in
can't
game
win.
Two, I'm not sure that they can win this series, but I also know you don't get healthier in the playoffs.
Absolutely not.
If we don't see that Bufflin, you never want to see anything bad happen to someone, but if we don't see that Bufflin, that might be the best news we get, whether we come back on Sunday 1-1 or 2-0.
I believe it was Bufflin that nailed Petrangelo, so I'm sure he would hope that he is not. Before we wrap up the segment, boys, the Free Dotem Open is taking place on May 30th and 31st at Normandy Golf Club. There are foursomes still available for Thursday, May 30th. For only $500, you get golf for you and three friends, lunch, booze, and the opportunity to meet Lisa Ann, who will be in attendance, whoever that is. There is a limited quantity available, so do not wait to purchase your foursome. Just go to eventbrite.com and type Free Dotem in the search bar. So there you go. Something, Lisa Ann, I don't know. Hey, boys, I am taking the Blues in game two, 3-2. I think it's going to be another nasty game, and I think Chris Kerber nailed it. The Blues are going to have to take it to another level. The good news is I don't think we saw an overly physical Blues team, and I think there's a lot in the tank there. So if you see it, I think this goes to my prediction of the Blues in five, because I think if they win this one, they'll drop one in St. Louis and finish it out there in Winnipeg, boys.
I'll take it. I think it's going to be another drag out. Going to be decided, if not in overtime, in the final 5 minutes of the game. I think it'll be that close again.
Well, hopefully you've enjoyed, not Rock Shut Up Day, but Rock
it's Limited
Rock
Day.
Well, in hour number one, the whole Game of Thrones thing worked for him, and the NBA playoff thing worked for him. But
we left the room for that.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Cut him off, Rock. Cut him off.